97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman.
Pew pew.
Is right there. Yeah, buddy. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. And if you're hearing the show before Father's Day, I would say get to Razorback Armory, the gun concierge that's in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. Get Dad a gift card or get him a cleaning kit or get him some ammo. He'll love that. Get him into Razorback Armory as soon as you possibly can. Tell him Bo sent you in. All right, we've got a returning guest here to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors because we've spoke about the Great Outdoors portion of the program already. Aiden Johnston returns. He's a St. Louis native and the Director of Federal Affairs for Gun Owners of America. And we've got a lot to talk about because they're coming in hot after pistol braces. Aiden, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Talk to me about where we're at on the pistol braces. And, you know, I know Texas is making the most noise against it. Is it a national fight, if you will?
Yes. So GOA filed a lawsuit alongside Texas, and we got an injunction, but it only applies to GOA members and employees of the state of Texas. So we're fighting to have that expanded to be a national injunction. I think that's really important. There are actually four other injunctions, and groups like the National Rifle Association are just now filing lawsuits to try to get their members protected as well. So it is all hands on deck. Every group is fighting. There's 25 attorneys general in another state trying to get an injunction. So anyway, the fight is progressing. In the courts, at least.
Yeah, Aiden, Mark Cox here. Didn't I read where I know a couple of conservatives in the House had blocked votes for a couple of days, but they did finally all get back on the same page. And I read where the House of Representatives, for what it's worth, did pass legislation that would remove this ban on pistol braces. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, that's correct. So there was a little bit of a holdup in the House of Representatives on some backroom stuff, but our bill sponsor was able to work that out with congressional leadership, and the bill was brought to the floor this past week, and we just won. It was 218 to 210, and we actually had two Democrats vote for this bill to overturn the Biden pistol ban. So this bill, this action by the ATF to ban 40 million pistols is so outrageous that it ended up being a bipartisan vote to overturn it in the House of Representatives.
Well, thank
That's
goodness.
Amazing.
As it should be. I mean, here's the thing. I don't happen to own a gun that needs a pistol brace. But at the same time, every time we look at the people, the organizations and the individuals who are trying to ban weapons or ban accessories, they focus on things that aren't part of the problem. Right? I mean, when is the last time a mass shooting took place because the individual had a brace on the pistol that they're carrying? I don't remember when that happened. Why is this suddenly in the forefront of our political conversation here?
Well, insofar as a pistol brace firearm has ever been used in a crime, it's just because that was the firearm that they happened to steal or buy or obtain as far as the criminal is concerned.
Yeah.
Because a pistol brace doesn't make that firearm any more deadly than it already is. And all this rule says is you have to take that brace off and destroy it. And that actually makes the firearm more concealable because there's less plastic. There's nothing on the back end of the firearm. And so it's also really what it does is that it just makes it harder to control because there's no arm brace for you to use to stabilize that firearm. So taking it off doesn't actually address the lethality of any kind of firearm because they still shoot and they're still just as deadly as they were right before you took it off.
Well, there's a lot of gadgets that help you be more accurate as a shooter, and the pistol brace for some is that item, and somebody come up with it and it you know turned out to be a great item for gun enthusiasts, especially the sport shooting. Because it's just helping. It's like having a laser dot scope or sight on your firearm. It's just to help it be more accurate. Aiden, I'm going to sidestep just a second. Are pistol braces used in the military? And if so, would they be banned if they were to get their way?
You know, I don't believe that the military uses pistol-braced weapons. I think that they would just put a what's known as a stock on it and have a short-barreled rifle. And I actually think it's your constitutional right to have that as well. I don't think there should be what's called the National Firearms Act of 1934 that regulates short-barreled rifles. And that's the law that Biden's trying to weaponize here. So I don't think that that law should exist, or that any kind of cosmetic restrictions on a firearm. Do you have a buttstock, or do you have a pistol brace? Is it a 16-inch barrel? Is it a 17-inch barrel? Is it a 15-inch barrel? I don't think it matters. I think it's your right to own that firearm.
I think that's a great point. And the NFA, to remind people, is the same one that requires you to have to jump through hoops, Bo, to get a suppressor, right? I mean, as if in the movies you think it makes your gun go... That's not what happens, right? We all know that have used them, and they somehow seem to think that if anybody could just go buy them, that there would be more criminal activity. I mean, it's silly season in America. Aiden, let me have you clear something up for people who are listening, because I suspect there is confusion out there among people who've never owned a pistol brace or had a short-barreled pistol that they could have used one on. Describe what this looks like. Some of the ones I've seen, like, will fit over your forearm, and I think they were designed originally to help people who had some sort of disability and couldn't grip the gun normally, and then this was designed to fit, like, over your forearm, or you fit your arm through it to hold on to the gun. But not all of them, not all pistol braces are like that, correct?
That's correct. So they were originally designed to help a disabled, a combat wounded veteran shoot his firearm better. He got kicked off the range by a mean range safety officer who said he wasn't shooting his firearm safely because he couldn't control it. And so the inventor was upset at this treatment of the veteran and invented him a tool to help him hold his firearm with the one arm that he could use properly. And so it's basically, you can imagine a shotgun or a AR-15 or even at various types of commonly owned handguns like a Glock that has an attachment at the end that wraps around your wrist. And that's why it's called an arm stabilizing brace. And because it attaches to your hand and it allows you to hold that firearm with one hand and shoot it with one hand, and that's the very definition of a handgun or a pistol. So that was the invention of these. And like I said, they can fit onto shotguns, they can fit onto rifles, and they can fit onto what otherwise would look like a handgun just to help someone shoot better. But now that was invented, now that we said, okay, if you put this brace on it, it's considered a handgun, there's other kinds of things that gun owners have now gone to use them for. Like, for example, hunting seasons that are pistol only. You can take a bolt action rifle and you can instead turn it into a pistol, and you can use it during handgun only seasons. So these things have become common and widely used. The Congressional Research Service estimates there's between 10 and 40 million out there. I'm sure if you go to your local gun store, you'll probably see one, or you would have seen one pre-ban. They're that common.
Well, you guys are definitely the tip of the spear when defending Second Amendment rights and accessories of certainly what we're talking about here on this episode. Wanted to ask about gunowners.org and the money that goes in. I was in a conversation about a week ago with somebody that does support the Second Amendment, you know, has a collection and gets out to the range a lot. And he didn't know a lot about you. So I want to give you the floor to share with people how and why they should support Gun Owners of America. You being the Director of Federal Affairs, you're probably one of the best people to speak about that, because of course it's about creating a legion of fans of Second Amendment. How can we help you continue the fight?
So me being the Director of Federal Affairs, that's DC speak for. I'm our chief lobbyist, and Gun Owners of America is the only no compromise gun lobby in Washington, DC. We've been around since 1976. And we've been advocating for your Second Amendment rights. What we believe that means is that your rights shall not be infringed. No gun laws, no gun control, no restrictions. The government does not have any authority to do that. And we fight not only in Congress, walking around, not only with the executive branch and these sort of ATF rules, but also we sue them in court. And That's our federal work. We also have a state and local department. So we have lobbyists in the state capitol, and we have, sort of a holistic approach. We're going to defend your rights at the federal level in Congress and in the courts, and also at the state level in your capitol and in the courts.
Yeah, and that's not cheap.
No, it is not cheap. But, you know, we don't spend our money on fancy suits or, big parties or anything like that. Your money goes directly towards our lawsuits, directly towards lobbying and pressuring these lawmakers into doing the right thing and protecting your rights.
Well, keep up the good work. I mean, I know whenever we cover these stories, regardless of the state, of course, Illinois jumps to the forefront because of this ridiculous assault rifle, their words, not mine, ban that they put in place over there. I know GOA is right there at the front of that. And for example, that I know you are, just like me, disappointed that the Supreme Court wouldn't step in and put a temporary injunction on that law, because my thought is every single day somebody who wakes up in the state of Illinois as a United States citizen, that their Second Amendment right is being injured every single day because the governor of that state and the liberal legislators think they can violate the Second Amendment and ban an entire class of weapons.
Yeah, no, I mean, that assault weapons ban in Illinois is absolutely outrageous. We have our own lawsuit that is currently pending, and it has not reached the Supreme Court yet. The case that got denied was not our case. And, you know, I think that just speaks to why we're different organizations. And we're very proud of the quality of our work. I have high hopes for the Supreme Court and for our court case in particular. So hopefully we get another shot at that, and we're able to actually stop this assault weapons ban. We did win at the district court level in our case, and I think there was a few other groups that got combined into that, and the assault weapons ban was enjoined for a short period of time. But absolutely unconstitutional. We're going to keep fighting for your rights no matter what, and nothing like that. No state assault weapons ban, no federal assault weapons ban, from no executive action from Joe Biden is going to get in our way.
All right. Well, the fight continues. And Aiden, we always appreciate your time on our show, because all we're trying to do is, you know, share the information on how people can help with the fight. I mean, I feel like I'm at a loss, and I don't know, you know, what I can do. But I know that if I support the gun owners of America, you are going to be thinking and fighting for the things that I care about and I believe in, because I want to protect my family and my property as well. So thank you again for joining us. Please keep us informed and let folks know where they can find you online and help support you.
Thanks. Yeah, you can go to, like you said, gunowners.org. You can follow us on social media at gunowners. But I think it's most important for our members to know that we are a grassroots-based organization. So we communicate that information to you, and then you take action and hold members of Congress accountable. If you as an individual want to do something, the best thing you can do is get your senator's offices and your representative's office on speed dial and call them every time we tell you, you know, hey, they're going to hold up your bill, or hey, they're not going to push back against Joe Biden's assault weapons ban, or this, that, and the other.
It's a great point. Aiden Johnson, when you get back to St. Louis often? I know you're a native.
Oh, I was just in town for a wedding a couple weeks ago. Hopefully I'll be back a little bit later this year as well.
That's awesome. Hey, Aiden, great having you on. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Aiden Johnson there, St. Louis
native. Happy Father's Day if he's a father.
I don't know if he's a father. Gun Owners of America's Director of Federal Affairs. They really do good work. And by the way, I should have brought this up. He mentioned it once, but I don't know if it got lost in the conversation. If you have a pistol brace and you're worried about that, you need to go to Gun Owners and become a member. I think that was one of the ruling that was handed down protects people who are members of Gun Owners of America from prosecution while this thing works its way through the system. So that would be a good plan for you.
Yeah, they're actually protecting their supporters and their members. And
yes.
Forgot to wish him a happy Father's Day. I don't know if he is, but yeah, Father's Day weekend. Can you believe it's here?
I can't. Happy Father's Day to
and
everyone
to you.
Out there. Yeah, and to you.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, that's going to do it for this this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Thanks for being here, and hopefully you feel more enlightened after today's show, don't you, Bo?
I feel lighter, you know, with the carrot brats instead of the real brats. Have a good rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.